May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Trials and temptations, those are words that often, well, describe the Christian and his life as we experience it. Those words are really kind of a cliche, if you will, for some of our views on life. Sometimes we, as Christians, we gather together and, well, for a lack of it, it kind of becomes a pity party as we share those trials and temptations. It's there. We might talk about the health issues, relationships, financial problems, and, well, we could go on and on. Of course, we probably don't want to discuss too much of the temptations, lest the ugly side of ourselves be exposed, and everyone, of course, has temptations that prey on them more than others. And it's how James comes at the subject of trials and temptations. He doesn't do it in the same way that we might tend to do so. No, he views them not simply as a negative that are there to drag you down, but just the opposite. He talks about the only answer to trials and temptations that we seem to love to dwell on so much. He talks about God and what he does in the midst of those trials and temptations. And James reminds us that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift, and that he is on our side even in the midst of trials and temptations. Sounds hard to believe, but this is the way that James begins his letter. He says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." Joy? Oh, come on. But that's what James is saying to us. And that's what verse 12 is saying to us as he says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him." You see, God uses those trials to strengthen our faith. Few Christians seem to get stronger when we simply have all easy times. Now, isn't it those tough times that move us to flee and cling to our God? We can see in the midst of that his hand, and we experience that he keeps his promises just as he sustains us during those trials. God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And that includes the ability to take those trials that we suffer in this world and to use them for our good, to strengthen that faith. Strengthen them in him and in his dear Son. And yes, Jesus knows all about trials, not only those 40 days in the wilderness, but all the way up through his ministry and his arrest, being rejected, given that mock trial, the beatings, the nailing, the crown of thorns and spear. He knows and suffered those trials beyond what we can probably even imagine. But he always has his eyes on his Heavenly Father to sustain him during those very trials. Yes, God allowed him to suffer in order to save us, to fall under the law that he might perfectly keep it. And it's that perfect obedience to his Father that he suffered all, and even that perfect faith in his Father and that plan that he had laid out from eternity. Yes, it's in the midst of trial that he is there also with us, knowing exactly what we are going through and sympathizing with us. James says, "And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He does more than just sympathize with us. He's the one who gives us all that strength and faith as we go through it all. And he's the one who will bring us through the trials of this life and give us everlasting life. The crown of life is ours because our dear Savior suffered the trials of Calvary for you and for me. And so the next time trials come, remember the Savior. And when you wonder where God is when you're suffering, go to the cross. It's there that he gives you comfort. It's there he gives understanding, his power, and his victory. Go to the Word. And he speaks to you. Go to the table and receive that precious body and blood. And you will be strengthened. James, or the writer of Hebrews, says, let us look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostilities against him, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Well, so much for trials. What about temptations? How is that positive? Well, the temptations are not God's fault, and certainly our falling into temptation doesn't belong to something originating from God. Remember, God tests us to strengthen our faith. But the converse is that Satan always tempts with the purpose to draw us away from him and from God's purposes. God tests for our strengthening. Satan tempts in order to draw us away. And some people would like to blame God for temptation. But isn't he the one that created desires within it, whether it be sex or hunger or all the things that drive us? He did, but he didn't mean for us to abuse those desires that he gave us. And that's what Satan tempted and always uses. It came that when disobedience and sin entered the picture, that God now wants to strengthen that faith. James makes it clear that we can look no further than ourselves for the problem of temptation, as well as Satan himself. He says, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Each person, our own desire. Temptation is all around us. It's also from within. And it's there that even God told Cain and after he had killed his brother, that sin is crouching at the door. We struggle with temptations. We feel guilty when we fall into it, and we make up our minds, maybe in Christian volition, that we want to defeat it, but the truth is, we can't. We won't. We fail when we trust in ourselves to overcome. Remember Peter and Jesus just before Good Friday? Jesus said, Satan demanded to have you, but I prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Those are Jesus' words to Peter. And even before Peter knew that he would need those prayers of intercession, Jesus already knew and stood in the gap. Satan's always after stealing God's good gift of faith from us. And he's the one that tries to destroy that faith and us in the process. Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. Satan's access to Peter's life He was allowed to humble Peter, but Christ would bring him back to the brink of despair. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. When Peter's denial of Jesus, his faith was shaken. But through Jesus' intercession and Peter's repentance, Peter was restored and commissioned by Jesus to strengthen those around him. The writer of the book of Hebrews reminds us, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted just as we are, yet without sin. The question that begs to be answered is, why was Jesus tempted? Why was the Son of God? Did he have to go through all of this? And the answer is simply that Jesus was tempted by the devil and by the situation itself to see if he would follow the will and the plan of salvation that his Father in heaven had laid out. God comes to the rescue. He brings us good and perfect gifts. And he brings us that message, the word of truth, the gospel. And the gospel tells us that God gave us the best, the good and perfect gift, the gift of his very own Son. And Jesus knows trial. He knows what it is, and he truly knows what temptation is. He was not only tempted by Satan, as we read in the gospel, but he was tempted even more than that. The greatest temptation was to avoid the cross. Not to go to the cross to save you and me. Not to suffer the trials that he would be about to face. He was tempted not to suffer and die for you and me, but he overcame that temptation. And he went all the way to the cross for you and me to pay for the times that we fall into temptation. And he's the only one who can defeat temptation for us. You see, we're now his children, his first fruits, and as James calls us. We've been born again by our baptism, and we belong to God. We are his prized possession, if you will. And he loves us, and he sent his Son to die for us. We have that forgiveness for all the times that we have fallen into temptation. And through faith, we will receive that crown of life in Christ Jesus. We will receive heaven itself. We will receive the power that we need through this world of trials and temptations. And what is he doing about all of this for you and me? Very simply what we're doing today. He's feeding us with his word. A word that sustains and reminds you. He strengthens us with the promise of his constant presence, his sympathy, his understanding. And he knows what you're going through because he's been there. And his victory is ours. It's yours. Even if you fail, he picks you up again. And he forgives you and prepares you with the power of the word to strengthen you in faith for that next time that temptation comes. And he does the same thing through the Lord's Supper. He there feeds us with his body and blood that he suffered and shed for you and for me. He strengthens your faith and forgives you your sins, and ultimately we too will receive the crown of life through faith. Yes, Jesus knows all about trials and temptations. God sent his only Son to suffer them for as we do to give us all that we need through the trials and temptations of the world and the temptings from within, and ultimately to receive that crown of life that Jesus has earned for you on the cross and in the empty tomb. And as we wait for Jesus' return, we can be comforted by his words. My sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will be able to snatch them out of my hand. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. And now may the peace that surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.